Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women. Today we have a very special guest, Marlene Cole, a career and business influencer. Marlene is uniquely entertaining, inspirational, challenging, and accessible as a speaker. Marlene has successfully reinvented herself and transitioned into various job roles and industries across Australia. Combining her human resources management expertise with 15 years of empowering and energising people to achieve their personal goals, Marlene is here today to help you get the job that you want.
So I'm Marlene Cole from New Generation Careers and Silber Resume.
Marlene, what are some of the services your business offers?
So I prepare and give guidance to women and men across mainly the mining, oil and gas and construction industry to help them take that next step in their career. So whether it's moving around in their own company, taking promotions or going in a totally different direction with their work.
Marlene, why do you do what you do and what motivates you?
Well, I come from a HR background in retail, and I've never been really afraid to start a totally new industry. It's quite scary sometimes to be able to just leave your job and just walk into a totally different industry, but it's something I've never been afraid of. I think my very inquisitive nature of just wanting to know about all these jobs and unique roles, different industries, there's so much knowledge out there. So back in 2005, me and my husband had travelled from Melbourne, Adelaide, up to Karratha, so into a mining town. We then left there, went over to Darwin, and we did that role reversal where I became the breadwinner and he became the house dad. And I got a few training roles, so teaching people in disabilities to work across different areas. So we were looking at landscape gardening, retail. There were lots of different roles. And then I actually had a chance to go for a job with a recruitment agency in 2005. And so I was predominantly recruiting for transport and logistics, as well as quite a lot of other roles, which is lawyers and labourers, all of that. Then we returned back to Karratha, and I ended up in the marine industry. So I had this whole new eye view of what is possible for women today. Like, we had some great tugboat masters that were women, deckhands that were women. There was women in these really male-dominated industries, and being on the water every day was just amazing. So I was a personnel officer helping them with payroll and employee relations. Wasn't paying enough, so I had to look at my family and think, how am I going to pay the mortgage? So I had to go for a job that earned more money. So I ended up back in recruitment, and I think this is where it really launched the Pilbara Resumes, because I would have so many people coming into my recruitment agency looking for oil and gas, mining, construction jobs, and they'd come in and say, I want any job, I can do anything. And say 90% of them didn't even have a forklift license. So as a recruiter, people didn't realise that a recruiter's job isn't to get you a job, it's to fill roles for their clients. So I could see the frustration on so many job seekers' faces, that they knew they had experience, but it wasn't in their resume. So I started rewriting resumes when I should have been running a recruitment branch. And then I moved on from there, and we travelled around Australia and overseas, and I just, word of mouth spread that I had so many people saying, can you rewrite my resume? So now I run workshops at career expos around Australia. I also have a lot of clients come to me referral based. And when I run workshops, even in schools, I keep hearing the same thing, that my resume isn't working. I'm applying for lots of jobs and I'm hearing nothing. And for me, it's getting that word out there that if you're sending your resume out for jobs and hearing nothing, your resume isn't working, because your resume's job is to actually get an interview or a phone call.
I'm really looking forward to getting into this resume writing tips. But you started your own business. What barriers did you face doing that? And if you could go back and give yourself some advice, what would it be?
I think my advice would be, don't do it. Mainly because when you start your own business, you've got this idea of wanting to help other people. You know your skills can be of benefit to others, but what happens in reality is you need to work in the business, but there's so much more you have to do to work on the business. And even I see business owners when they start a business, whether it's a workshop or an office, it's not just opening the doors and waiting for customers to come in. There's so much at the back end. Like for me, because I've worked with over thousands of people in the last 10 years writing resumes, I've got the whole back end of administration. And when you start looking at your website, nowadays social media is so important. There's things like MailChimp. What calendars are you going to use online to book clients in with? Money-wise, what do you charge? How do you get the money out of people? And there's differences where I was actually burnt, that I was so eager to help people with their career tools that I would just start doing them. And then they go, oh, I'll leave it. And I had invested, you know, 3-4 hours in a resume, and all of a sudden it was wasted. So I think I now have got it sorted that it's about sometimes getting people to invest and pay up front, and always the continuous learning of understanding that back end and how to attract the right customers that you actually want to work with, and setting boundaries. I think that was a very big step I have taken in the last few years, is making boundaries that there's family time and there's work time, and for my own sanity, I need to make sure I have my weekends back.
And for not just business owners, but employees, having that time to yourself and those weekends or time off or downtime, it's really important for your mental health. And that time is something you can really use if you're not happy at work to maybe evaluate why.
That's the way I work. When I have a new client, my first question to them is, what do you hate about your job? Because it's something that you may never want to do again. So why are you still doing it? And it tends to be that fear of the unknown. So a lot of people I work with, they come to me thinking they just need a resume done, but what they end up getting is a real proper look from an outsider of what they're doing and are they enjoying it and what do they really want to be doing. So it's nearly like a career breakthrough that they realise there's parts of their work that they love and there's parts they don't really like to do. Let's look at another role that probably suits you better. And a lot of clients don't even realise what's out there. I had a young labourer, he'd been doing concreting for 15 years with two companies, and his wife rang to say, I don't know how to write his resume, he wants to get into the mines. And because of my knowledge of all of these industries, I turned around and said, well, he's worked on machines before, he can be a mechanical TA. Why would he want to work away from home with the family when he can be working up the road where they're building a gas plant? So he didn't even know that type of job existed. He stepped onto that, and it's not difficult. It's exactly what he was doing in concreting when he was working on the machine, but it's actually easier and it's 3 times the wage. Another example is I had a lovely woman in Queensland. She had been in retail working there for her husband and herself. Their marriage broke up with 2 children. She became a single mum. She started doing just landscape gardening, mowing lawns, just taking any job she could, and they weren't jobs she loved, but she ended up in a spare parts where they were reconditioning rotors and everything. And she was also doing a bit of a Jill of all trades, driving around dropping off parts to different companies and that. And when she finally rang me, she said, my dream is always to drive trucks. So she had gone and done the Cert 3 and surface extraction and hope to get into a mine site as a dump truck driver. And they're very competitive, especially the traineeship roles. But the way we brought all of her information out in her resume of all the more physical tasks she had done in each role, she walked straight into a dump truck traineeship in Northern Territory within 2 weeks.
Wow, good on her. Sounds like her resume really helped her get the job she really wanted.
It's amazing. People spend so much money on their education, their qualifications, and then they grab this template off Google or Microsoft Office and they throw all that information in that I've got this ticket, I've got this license, I've had this experience, and then that boring job list of what anyone in the job's expected to do. Then they start applying for jobs they would like, knowing they can do it, and hearing nothing. And it's because they haven't taken that time to look at what value they're offering that company, because companies don't have time to read between the lines anymore. They want to know how you're going to save them time and money. That's it.
Marlene, what are some of the resources that helped you get to where you are today?
Great question. I actually thought I was very much on my own. When I did transfer from being a house mum into a worker, I actually went to the local library and I grabbed Resumes for Dummies back in 2005. And on our way from Karratha to Darwin, I read this book back to front and I kind of realised I couldn't do a normal resume because I had such a gap, so I had to focus on my key strengths, which were leadership, training and management. So I brought these all to the forefront and hid my work history at the back of the resume. And I got this amazing interview with the Northern Territory government and it was definitely not a job I wanted because it was across the whole of the House Department with their HR, and it was such a job that I was so out of my depth. I can't believe my resume actually got me the interview. And, you know, the rest is history because I did get into leadership roles running recruitment agencies. But from using that Resumes for Dummies back in 2005, I have invested and done little workshops. I've found the best people in the industry for resume writing. I've kept up to date meeting recruiters and HR departments and finding out how applicant tracking systems work, how to lay out resumes better, how to show more value. That come 2015, I'm the second highest contributor to Resumes for Dummies. That my level of writing is up there with the best across the world in resume writing. And just to be able to know that anyone can create the career they want purely by using this tool, which is Resumes for Dummies. So I always say, go grab the book, read it from front to back like I did. But also there's groups like Career Directors International. Believe it or not, there is a resume writing industry. Unfortunately, in Australia, it's not regulated. So you will find people that charge $20 for a resume or $300 for a resume. It's like going and getting your forklift ticket out of your cornflake box, because it really is just a template that they've put your information in. But overseas, especially in America, there is these associations and they run international resume writing awards. So one of them is Career Directors International, and you can actually go onto their website and look at the Tory Award winners for three or four different industries each year. So it goes back, I think, to 2007, and I've won resume awards across 2014 and 16. And it's very hard just to be nominated, but it gives you an example of what these new resumes really do look like, and they're very different to anything you'll find on Google or Microsoft Office.
Wow, congratulations. That's so impressive. You've got to give yourself a big pat on the back. That is such an achievement.
Patting myself on the back.
Oh, no, that's so amazing. That's very impressive. Good on you.
And I even think, sorry, from that, I actually feel sometimes a lot of us women in particular have to deal with that imposter syndrome, like, who am I? Am I good enough? Can I really do that? And when I've won these awards, I still sit there and think, am I good enough? But I'm that biggest advocate for other women to say, you can do it. Don't be afraid to step out there. I was at a career expo in Perth last month and I had a lovely young lady come up to me and say she was an instrumentation technician. She had been doing instrumentation for the last 8 years and she wanted to go back so she could get her electrical, so she was a dual trade. And nowadays, anyone that's doing electrical needs to be dual trade if you want to work industrial or on any construction site, because it's the expected level now that if you've got your electrical, you've also got your instrumentation. So she was caught. She had her instrumentation, but she couldn't get an electrical apprenticeship because Apprenticeships Australia and all of the businesses, the training groups, were looking for young electrical apprentices. So I, after my workshops, I grabbed her by the hand. I said, "You're coming with me," and we marched straight over to one of the lithium mine sites. Who, what's happening nowadays is a lot of these companies aren't advertising. They're using expos and they're using LinkedIn to find workers, so they're not putting out a job ad on Seek. So I marched her over and I actually said to them, "Why can't you give her an electrical apprenticeship? Because then you've actually got an instrumentation vendor on site that already knows electrical. You're going to fast track her. You're getting it her for a really cheap investment." And they actually said, "There's no reason why we can't." So sometimes it's just not being afraid and just getting out there and saying, "I want this."
What are HR staff and recruiters looking for on the resume?
Well, the catch is nowadays, because of technology, you can't use the same resume for every single job you're going for unless it's very industry specific, mainly because there's actually three audiences that your resume has to get through now. So when you see a job on Seek, if it's with a big company, and I'll talk construction and mining and oil and gas, but if you're looking at Rio Tinto, BHP, if you look at any of those, even the government, they all use a program that's an applicant tracking system, because recruiters have told me within 2 seconds of them putting up an electrical job on Seek, there's been an application. And I know when I've written resumes for Boilermakers, in one particular job, we were competing with the one resume we wrote against 900 other people. So it goes through this applicant tracking system. And so what that means is your resume has to be formatted correctly, that you don't use text boxes. And that's unfortunately what a lot of these online free templates have. Because what happens is applicant tracking systems cannot read text boxes, tables, or even information in the header and footer of your resume. And so sometimes I've got a resume and it's got someone's name and contact details all in the header. Now, when it goes into that applicant tracking system, it just strips out the information it can read. So it'll get all this great information, but no contact details. Once you get through the applicant tracking system, your resume is in the hands of a recruiter or HR. They don't necessarily know the job, so you can't talk too technical. But you also can't just put that list of what anyone in the job is expected to do. That's like serving customers or pulling cables, welding. You can't just put that. What recruiters are saying to me nowadays is if you're doing boiler making or welding, they want to know what types of material. Is it stainless steel? Is it copper? Is it aluminium? But then what positions are you welding in? Is it 6F, 5G? So you're using flux core, are you using MIG, are you using TIG? There's all these different things. As an electrician, it's about, are you working with substations? Are you working on MCC? What are some of the programs for instrumentation? Are we using ABB? They want to know that more detail. And then when it gets into the hands of the decision maker, all they care about is they've got 20 resumes in front of them that all can do the job. What makes you special? So your resume now is actually your career storytelling. You've got to demonstrate in your resume how you saved money, how you reduced costs.
For those listening that don't have any experience to pop on the resume for the industries they're applying for, is there anything that they could do and pop in there to help them get the job?
Well, it depends what role they're going for, and that's what I always say. Until I know where you've come from and where you're going, how can we strategically use that information? I've had a few women that have said, "I've gone and got my HR driver's license, but I'm working in administration. How am I going to show those skills?" So you always think, after you've looked at the job ad, it's not necessarily just driving a truck. When you're driving a truck, it's customer service, it's safety, and it's manual handling. They're the three key elements I see that you have to bring out of every single job you've done. So if you're trying to transfer over to being a truck driver and you've been in admin, think of all the times that maybe you've had to move the office around. So what weight are you lifting? You're lifting up to 40 kilos or 30 kilos. You're using safe manual handling techniques, safety-wise, you're doing, like, you always pitch yourself in that job. So if I was a truck driver, I need to do a pre-start check. So where in all of those other jobs in my past have I done a pre-start check? You think, truck driver, if I'm doing deliveries, I've got manifests, I've got invoice, I've got to talk to customers. So where in your past jobs can you say that you've made sure the procedures have been followed? And this just came to me as well, that I've pushed people to do. If you really want to get a trade, think outside the box. Go and find the suppliers. Where do all those carpenters, electricians, boiler makers, plumbers go? They either go to Bunnings or they go to a wholesaler. Go and get a retail job with that wholesaler, because every single person you meet is going to teach you something.
That's really valuable advice. Do you have any success stories from past clients that you want to share?
The first one that comes to mind is a young electrical and instrumentation technician apprentice. She was working offshore on an oil rig as an apprentice for a fairly big gas company up in the top of WA. And she had made a mistake. She accidentally shut down an offshore oil rig, which cost $1 million for that day, which was like a big whoopsie. And so when we worked through her resume, we needed to understand why she loved the electrical. And she said she'd been surrounded by family and friends that all worked in the industry, and it sounded like something that she would enjoy. So here she was in her final year of her E&I, so an instro technician. She'd shut down this oil rig, and what happened was we were actually able to turn that into a real positive. Even though she got a very bad nickname called the Princess of Darkness, she actually instigated a whole rewrite of their procedures. So it actually ended up being quite a strength in her resume, because all the other tradespeople knew that if you touched this and did this, this was going to be the consequence. But they hadn't realised it wasn't up to date in the procedures. So as an apprentice, she came along and shut it down. But she was such a great worker, she ended up full-time working offshore on an oil rig. I think it's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Absolutely loves it, earning over $100,000.
Well, Marlene, you've helped so many people with their careers, and you yourself have had a very successful career as well. And you touched on some of your success a little earlier in the podcast. Is there anything else that you would like to tell us about that you're really proud of during your career?
I don't like to talk about it, which is sad, isn't it? I think when you're acknowledged for doing a great job, and I think for myself, I had put some resumes forward to Resumes for Dummies after winning an international award in 2014, and I think we're always, I'll leave it for someone else to put themselves forward. I sometimes see us as women, it's about helping others instead of being recognised for our own hard work. And so I made that effort to put these resume samples into Resumes for Dummies, and I actually flew all the way to America in 2015 to do a 3-day workshop, and be surrounded by 70 resume writers was amazing. And I think that's where it's really important for tradeswomen: surround yourself with women that inspire you, because when you're in that trade realm, or for me, that resume writing realm, and knowing I wasn't alone, it was just amazing to have that energy of all these other writers that you could pick their brains and understand where they had challenges with their customers or clients. And I hadn't seen the Resumes for Dummies book, but when I finally got it, I had gone back to my hotel room that night, and flicking through, I'm like, there's one of my resumes. Oh, my God, I'm in print. And there's the next one. And when I realised there were so many of my resumes in there, I actually burst into tears. And it was that realisation, oh, my goodness, I am good. Even though you have everyone else tell you, it's so hard to accept that. And so to have that experience and revelation myself that I finally got it, and to know that I just want to be the best of the best, and I'm going to put every effort in, that when I won another 2 international resume writing awards, it just made me feel worthy, which is strange, because my worthiness comes from my clients getting those jobs they want, for getting that interview, for creating a job that didn't exist that they really wanted to have happen.
So you have some events coming up. Where are they and what are the details so our listeners can come along and learn some tips?
Something I'd love to promote is next year I'm going to be running these workshops of what a new resume looks like at the Adelaide Careers Expo in May, the Brisbane in May, and Perth in August next year. So I'm really excited about that, to be able to get to so many job seekers that it's not just a resume anymore that you need to really focus on. It's your own personal brand, what makes you different to everyone else.
Well, Marlene, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. How can listeners track you down?
Through the Facebook page, so Pilbara Resumes or New Generation Careers. It's easy enough. When people say to me, how can I work with you at the expos? I say, how much do you want the job? If you want a job, you're going to jump on Google and you're going to hunt down this company or this job and everything you need to get that role. So if you want to work with me, come and find me.
Thanks again, Marlene, and thank you to the listeners for tuning into today's show. We hope you got as much out of it as we did. Now for some show notes. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again and catch you next week.